podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Welcome back, fight fans, to the big fight preview for this weekend's action. Another bumper weekend of fights. Really looking forward to seeing what happens this coming weekend. Johnston is here, as always. We're going to be reviewing some of these fights that are coming up and seeing how these things will pan out. So there's a good few fights on this weekend. And before we get into any sort of analysis of anything, the fights that we're looking at this weekend: Jaime Munguia, Jimmy Kelly, Trevor Bryan, Daniel Dubois, Edgar Belanga, Romar Alexis Angulo. We've got Richard Riakpor versus Fabio Turchi, Jermaine Brown, Zach Chelle, Mark Leach, Liam Davis. A lot of great fights this weekend. We've got Bakadir Jalalov as well fighting this weekend, which we will mention throughout the course of the show. So it is another big fight preview where there's quite a lot of relatively decent fights that we want to cover in this episode. So we'll go through the best ones of the weekend and obviously mention some of the fights that are on some of these undercards. But Johnston, I'm looking forward to the weekend. There's some fights where I feel like they feel like a little bit of a mismatch, and then there's some fights where I feel like actually, you know, these are genuine 50-50s.
Yeah, I'm with you. I think the general, it's literally a 50-50, as you say. Some, I believe, are pretty one-sided, which we'll go into, and others are a lot more competitive than the other ones. But all in all, I mean, there's a lot of events out there across sort of the world, really. I mean, specifically over on these shores, America and in Mexico. So there's a lot of fights to get through. But as you say, some competitive, some definitely mismatches, but we'll go into that.
So where do we start then? Because there's no one fight for me this weekend that stands out a mile. Like Jimmy Kelly going to fight Jaime Munguia. Maybe I'll start there. This is one of them where I feel like, as much as I like Jimmy Kelly, because he's from Manchester, I've met Jimmy, I've interviewed Jimmy many times before over the years, but I do genuinely feel like he's up against it against Jaime Munguia. And fair play to Jimmy, he's got himself in this position for this fight. But I just genuinely can't see a way past Jaime Munguia getting a victory against him. And this is why I said this is one of the fights that I feel like it is a little bit of, I'm not going to say a complete mismatch, I'm going to say levels. I think there's always levels to this sport. That cliche saying everybody loves to use, there is certain levels in the sport, and I don't think Jimmy Kelly is on the same level as Jaime Munguia. I think Jaime Munguia, he's shown his vulnerabilities. He's been lucky to get through his career so far unscathed. He's going into his 40th pro fight, by the way, at this point, with no defeats on his record. But he's got a guy in front of him who I think he's going to make him look good and going to make him look that guy again who people fear in this division. I think people, recently I've looked at him and gone, you know, is he really as good as what we think he is? Is he got too much of a padded record? Bearing in mind, obviously, he was in the super welterweight division previously. You know, what do you think about this fight coming up and the fact that he is obviously jumping up in weights, Jaime Munguia, to take this chance and this challenge?
Yeah, I'm very similar on your terms. I just can't see Kelly really having much of an impact on Munguia. I just think Munguia is, as you say, he's a level above. He's just a better fighter, all-rounder. He's got more power. I think he's better technically. I just think he's got everything in his favour to make it a pretty easy night for him against Kelly. And as you say, we don't want to disrespect Jimmy Kelly. He's going over to America to challenge himself. And you've got to respect that. And we've said that before in terms of these guys having, our guys in particular, having to go overseas and put themselves in a position where it's literally, you know, if they foul, it's not the end of the world. They can always come back. But in terms of levels, mate, I just can't see Kelly getting anywhere past the sixth round, to be quite honest with you. I mean, I may be wrong. But I just think it's just a level too far for him. And I just think it's going to be a comfortable night. I mean, Kelly's just going to have to be on his toes and be away from him as long as he possibly can and take him as far into the fight as possible and try and make it as competitive as possible. But to be honest, he's going to have to be on his toes and on the run for pretty much all the fight. I don't think he's got the power to really impose himself on Munguia, whereas I think Munguia has, and I think eventually we'll catch him. And I sort of see it around the middle rounds, to be honest with you.
I'm not too dissimilar in terms of the prediction for this fight. I mean, I'm looking at Munguia, and obviously we remember his start to his career, how he's made his way up through the super welterweight division, and he had a few fights in the middleweight division, and this particular bout is actually up at super middleweight, which, you know, not so surprising with Munguia. I think at times he did look like he was struggling to make the weight, but now he's going up to a weight where maybe he could be... He'll either be impactful or he won't, and we'll get to see it. But I don't think Jimmy Kelly's going to be the guy that's going to show us whether Munguia's going to be any sort of a force in the super middleweight division. I mean, the big fights that Jimmy Kelly's had in his career, I think the biggest victory was in his last fight against Kanat Islam. He won the vacant WBO global middleweight title. So both of these fighters, you know, are stepping up. Jimmy Kelly, again, has always been a super welterweight himself, but they're both fighting up at super middleweight in this fight for I'm not too sure of the reasons why they're both fighting up there, but they're both obviously going up in weight to fight each other, which is a great opportunity for both men. But I think Munguia is the favourite, and I think he stops Jimmy Kelly around the middle rounds. Wouldn't surprise me if it'd be earlier than that, maybe three or four rounds in. Once he figures him out, I think we're going to see a stoppage. And again, I hate to go against our guys, but, you know, we've got to be objective here, haven't we? We've got to be objective and realistically, if we see there's a difference in levels between two fighters, you know, we've got to point this out, and there certainly is in this fight. That's one fight I am interested to look at this weekend. I mean, I am interested to see how Munguia gets on and how Kelly gets on. I'm expecting a Munguia win. That's live on DAZN this weekend, or you can go and see our friends at Daz TV on Twitter at Daz TV for all the available services they have on there. Now, moving forward then, I don't think there's too much more we can cover for that particular fight. I want to move forward to look at the Trevor Bryan Daniel Dubois fight, which is an interesting fight. It's promoted by our good old friend Mr. Slippery Don King, promoting this fight with one of the worst fight posters I've ever seen. It looked like it was done in clip art or paint. It was one of the worst fight posters I've ever seen to promote a fight. But, you know, he's got the purse bids for this fight. He's hosting this fight. Trevor Bryan's his champion. He holds the WBA heavyweight title, or the regular version of it, should we add. And he's fighting Daniel Dubois. And obviously we know Daniel Dubois. We know he was destined for great things until he come up against Joe Joyce in 2020 and got stopped in 10 rounds, albeit with that terrible eye injury that he suffered. But he's since been back. He's got a KO in the second round and a KO in the first round. He's continuing that dominant streak that he was on up until he fought Joe Joyce. But he's fighting a guy who's in front of him, who is undefeated, by the way, Trevor Bryan, 22-0. But I looked at Trevor Bryan's resume, I looked at a few of his fights going into this podcast, and I wasn't overly impressed with what he brings to the table. His biggest win is over Bermain Stiverne, an aged Bermain Stiverne, the same Bermain Stiverne that was WBC champion until Wilder dethroned him many years ago. So, all that being said, I think it's a pretty good, evenly matched fight at this stage of both of their careers, because, you know, we know Dubois, for me, he's better than British level, and Joyce is world level. He's one of the top 10 heavyweights in the world. We know this. So Dubois, for me, just sort of sits outside that top 10. And Trevor Bryan's got a portion of the WBA title. So, you know, it's a great opportunity for Daniel Dubois here to go in there and pick up a portion of the heavyweight title. But can he do it? Can he beat Trevor Bryan? Is Trevor Bryan good enough to beat Daniel Dubois? What are you making of this fight?
I'm happy that the WBA title is now... I mean, since, 2016, when Lucas Brown had this title, the regular belt, it's been an absolute joke. I mean, you've had Chard and you've had Bryan. I mean, how Bryan and Stiverne ever got an opportunity to fight for this title is beyond me. I know it's just a regular one, but it's an irrelevant title. You call it regular, it's irrelevant. It means nothing. I mean, it's just, as you say, it's a portion of that title. Away from that, it is not an easy night, really, for Daniel. I don't believe it's going to be an easy night. I mean, I know, for me... Trevor Bryan, I mean, he's an old boy. He's been around the block, hasn't he? He's been around for a while too, but he feels like he's been around forever. He's held this. He's a big fella and all. And I do sort of feel like when I look at the fight and I look at both guys' physiques, that, you know, I can sort of see a Tony Thompson here. Tony Thompson against David Price. It is a potential banana skin for Daniel, but I do think Trevor Bryan is limited, and I believe that I don't feel that he's ever fought anyone with the power of Daniel. So that's going to be very interesting when he does land, whether he can actually stand up to it. He may do. I mean, I'm not saying he won't, but there's no reason to suggest why he wouldn't, I suppose, because he's undefeated. But 22-0, 15 knockouts. I mean, look, as you say, Stiverne, BJ Flores, the names on his resume is pretty poor, let's be honest. When you look at Daniel's, obviously, he come up short against Joe Joyce, but that's a great learning curve for him. As long as his eye's okay and it can stand up to any of the whacks he gets, then I do think Daniel can come through this. But I do have a suspicion, especially when you've got old Mr. Slippery involved, whether Daniel might need the knockout to get this victory, unless it's an absolute landslide. If there's any tight rounds, again, I mean, I mentioned this before. I always mention this because I can't help it, because there is corruption in the sport, and especially when it comes to Don King. So I do wonder if Daniel may need the knockout, and I do feel that he will get it. I think it'll be quite late, though. I think it will eventually work him out, and I don't think Trevor Bryan's going to stand up to him. So for me, I think Daniel does do it, and I think it's another good learning curve for him, finding Miami. Epoxy poster, this is all the learning curves of becoming a heavyweight champion at some point in his career, hopefully.
It's a great fight for him. I'm not denying the fact that it is it's a brilliant fight for Daniel, and a brilliant opportunity, regardless of what we think of these belts. That's just our opinion. I mean, it's a lot of other people's opinions as well, of course, but it's just our opinion on what we think about the bullshit belts, that the way they segregate them and move them around and create extra belts for the purposes of sanctioning fees, which is the reason why there is regulars and supers and interims, as we know. But it's an opportunity for Daniel then to put his name in with a shout at fighting a bigger name in the future, which ultimately is the aim of the game. You're not in this sport to just sit around and fight nobodies for your career. If that's what you want to do, then you might as well become a journeyman and just be on the road and just take the money every week. Simple as that. But a guy like Daniel Dubois wants to be a world champion. He's got an opportunity to have a portion of it here against Trevor Bryan. It's going to be an interesting fight, because I honestly think, like, it's either going to be an early knockout or it's going to be a long, drawn-out affair, maybe even a bit of a bore fest, where potentially Daniel Dubois gets robbed, like you say, on the cards, because it's a Don King promotion, it's in America. Unfortunately, that corruption that lies within the sport, in particular around that certain individual in Miss Don King, then you kind of feel yourself that he's got to knock him out anyway. No matter what he does, he's got to knock him out. So I honestly think he does. My opinion is that Daniel Dubois becomes the regular WBA champion by knocking out Trevor Bryan. I think he'll get him early. I think that's going to be the plan for them. I think they're not going to leave anything to the judges. They're not going to leave anything to anybody else. They're going to go over there and they're going to knock Trevor Bryan out, and they're going to walk away with that. And then that'll hopefully then put Daniel Dubois in a position to fight a bigger name in the future. Might even potentially look at the Joyce rematch. That might be something down the line. Joyce was supposed to be fighting Parker. That fight's now been cancelled or postponed, as they've said. So what easier fight to make for Frank Warren would be a rematch between Dubois and Joyce with the portion of the WBA title on the line. I think that kind of makes sense from a business perspective. But Daniel's got to get past Trevor Bryan first. That's the biggest thing for me, is can he knock him out? Can he do it early? If he doesn't, will he get robbed on the cards? Or will Trevor Bryan hurt Daniel Dubois? And is Daniel Dubois ever going to be the same again since that loss to Joyce? They're the questions that I don't think we've fully had the answers to yet. And I think this fight will tell us that, because Trevor Bryan can whack, as we know. His record tells us, and his career so far tells us, that he can whack. So if he lands and he hurts him, will Dubois get through the storm? Will he be able to come back and stop Trevor Bryan? There's a lot of if, buts and maybes to this fight, but they're the possible ways in which this fight can go down. Ultimately, I think Dubois wins it. I think he does knock Trevor Bryan out. He's got the power to do it. I don't think Bryan's been in there with someone as agile and as mobile and as young and as fresh as Dubois in his career. And with Bryan being an older heavyweight champion, I think Dubois is going to look at using his footwork. He's going to use it looking his faster hands. And I think he's going to get on the inside. He's going to land a big punch. And I think that's when we're going to see that Daniel Dubois is at that level where he will fight big fighters again in the future.
Yeah, and I think, I mean, you look at Brian, and there isn't anything spectacular about him. There really isn't. And surely the conversation in camp to Daniel is literally just, you know, don't allow this to go to the judges and make your right hand the judges. That's how you got to do it. Like the old, I think it was Joe Frazier was told, make that left hook your judge, and Daniel Dubois got to make his big right hand that judge in Miami. And I think he can. I think even if he doesn't knock him out completely, he's got to put him down a couple of times at least. Do not make this close. And the other thing is, we don't know whether with Brian, when he gets put under a little bit of pressure, if he's actually just going to buckle and give it up. He may well do. Yeah, that's a strong possibility. He's got all the tools to do it. It's just a mental thing, isn't it, from the eye thing. And whether, if he does get a big whack, whether he's going to have the ability to grind on. A lot of people called him a quitter. We didn't. We said that we were encouraged by the fact that he realised his eye was badly ruptured, and he made the decision himself to stay down and take that count to save himself for another day. Well, this is the other day. Go and do the job, Daniel. Go and get a portion of the WBA title and then look for bigger and brighter future for yourself, because I do believe he has that ability in him. Absolutely.
So let's move on to Richard Ryakpor versus Fabio Turcher in the cruiserweight division. It was only a couple of weeks ago we was talking about how the light heavyweights and cruiserweights domestically are at a level where there's that many of them now that any one of them could move forward and be in big fights for world titles. Richard Ryakpor is one of those fighters that we've said we want him to move forward and we want him to push for a big fight in his future. Now, he's taking on the 20-1 Fabio Turcher in the fight this weekend, who, let's be honest, he's a pretty good fighter himself. He's fought guys over here before. He's fought and beat Tony Conquest in 2018. He lost on a split decision to Tommy McCarthy in 2019. So he isn't no mug. You know, he is a guy that has got the power to hurt the likes of Richard Ryakpor. But from what we know of Ryakpor so far, he has also got the power in both of them hands to hurt Turcher and potentially stop him in his tracks. Now, that one defeat is a split decision for Turcher. So Turchi's never been stopped. He's never been knocked out. So can Ryakpor be the man to do it? Well, I think possibly he could be, given what we've seen him do. Earlier this year, he had a great domestic fight with Dion Juma, who was also 14-0. And he dropped Juma on a couple of occasions. And he went on to get the 8th round stoppage against him. Prior to that, he's beaten the likes of Chris Billum-Smith, Tommy McCarthy, Sam Hyde, Jack Massey. And we know from what we've seen of him so far that he's ready for this step up. I do think this is it's a bit of a prelude to world level fights. I think Turcher is probably European level, maybe at best. And I think this is the prelude to that. And I think if Richard Ryakpor is to go on to challenge for a world title, this is a good stepping stone to do so. And I think he needs to win this fight in emphatic fashion. Turcher is going to come in there. He is going to put it on Ryakpor. He can punch himself. And I think this was what Ryakpor needs at this stage of his career. He needs these very live opponents. These opponents that are coming there to win these fights. That are coming there to upset the guy that's being favoured as the winner of this fight before they've even got in the ring. So I'm looking forward to this particular fight. I think if Ryakpor blows Turcher out of there, then surely we've got to be talking about him fighting at least an ex-world champion or challenging for a world title. I'm sure that they can put him on the pedestal to fight for a world title in the not too distant future. What are you making of this fight for Richard Ryakpor? Do you think it is a step in the right direction for him?
Yeah, it's a funny one. It's almost like a bit of a sideways step for me when you look at Turchi. I mean, as you say, Turchi, he's a game fighter. Like I did watch the fight in Milan against Dillian Brigion, who was a lot taller, pretty much the same height as a Ryakpor. And what Turchi did, he got more on his toes. He's pretty flat-footed normally, especially against Tommy McCarthy in his home. I think he was in Italy, wasn't it? So I didn't like his performance that night. I thought Tommy McCarthy fought really well and deserved it. He looked like, I think it was like a plan. I think maybe they had Ryakpor in their mind to fight this and get in at his chest. But that Dillon, I mean, the French guy, he caused him problems behind the jab, but then he stopped throwing the jab. and he's got nowhere near the power of a Richard Riakpor. But Turchi will come forward, and when he gets on your chest, he throws a lot of combinations. He won't be frightened to throw the chest and then look to come in and throw some combinations in at Richard. And he'll be up on his toes. I think he'd be looking to be moving his head. He's southpaw as well. That's another element I suppose they're looking at. And Riakpor does tower over pretty much all the cruiserweight. So for me, I think he's probably he's planning for fighting those smaller guys. It's tricky as well to where he goes. Is he going to get the Lawrence way? And then you look at the other champions, and he sort of sits around 6 and 7, and I think 9 in one of the organisations in terms of the rankings. So he's not even close. And Tertius doesn't even get mentioned. I mean, he should be looking at guys like Badu Jack for me. I think an experienced warrior, like the guy who wants to really go to the trench. Huge. I know Jack is an older lad. I think he's like 38, 39. But I think that's a better fight for Riakpor than this one. I think he's looking at this as another stepping stone, but it's a bit of a sideways step for me. And I think he does stop him. I really do. I think he's got enough power, and he's going to use his long jab. And if he doesn't stop him, because Turchi's a strong guy, he is. I think maybe he can stand his ground and maybe get up if he gets back down again. But I think Riakpor inevitably will work behind that jab, look for the big booming rights and left hands, and eventually I think he gets him and he does stop him. But I wouldn't be surprised if Turchi survives it. I do think it will be just due to his power. Whereas Turchi, as I say, if he gets stuck behind that jab, he's going to have difficulty trying to get round it.
It's going to be a great fight. I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to seeing whether Riakpor can stamp his authority on this particular night, and then we can start to look at what is next for him. And you made some good points there about the fact that obviously he's not ranked very highly in the organisation, so where does he go next? The likes of Badu Jack, you know, maybe even a Sergei Kovalev, who's made that recent jump to cruiserweight as well. So, you know, these are a couple of huge names that have done so much in the sport, and maybe, just maybe, even though they are past their best, they would be great scalps on the record of Richard Riakpor. It's a no-win situation, I think, sometimes like that, because if we say, you know, fight Kovalev or fight Badu Jack, we know weren't natural cruiserweights. Riakpor is a natural cruiserweight, potentially even a heavyweight at some point. You know, is he just beating on an older, smaller man? Are people just going to say that? That's the biggest point that you can take away from it. Whereas, obviously, if he's fighting live opponents or opponents that are younger, that are as hungry as he are, and he gets them big fights, then maybe that's where we'll get to see the best of him. I'd like to see him move forward from this point on, but he's got to get past Turchi this weekend first. And if he does, then they've got to put him in a bigger fight. That for me, that's the next thing. He's had a great fight against Deon Jumer. I thought that was a really good 50-50 fight, and I was really happy he had that, and he got the victory. But now, if he gets past Turchi, then you've got to move on. You've got to look for the live opponents in that top 10 that are going to give him the challenge he needs before fighting for a world title. So, let's see how we get on this weekend, Mr. Riakpor. And hopefully, if he gets through this, then we can start to talk about what is next in the review show next week. So, other fights, Johnston, then, this weekend. We mentioned them at the top of the show. BT Sport have got a card on Frank Warren Queensbury Promotions, headlined by Mark Leach versus Liam Davis for the British Super Bantamweight title. Mark Leach defending that British Super Bantamweight title against the undefeated Liam Davis. Another great fight for this particular card, but I've had a look through the card and the depths of it, and I'm not overly impressed because, I'll be honest, it is literally just prospect versus journeyman all the way through, barring the chief support, which is the super flyweight clash, the third encounter between Ijaz Ahmed and Casey Kadima, which, you know, they've had a good couple of fights, to be fair to them, and, you know, if you've enjoyed watching their first two, you'll probably enjoy watching this third fight between the two of them. So, if you're looking for fights this weekend to watch, Mark Leach versus Liam Davis will be a good fight to watch, because Mark Leach, I think he's on the cusp now of fighting the bigger names in the super bantamweight division. He has proven that he is better than domestic level for me. I've seen better than domestic out of him, and I want to see him move forward. Once he's defended this, I'd like to see him move further forward. But that's not for me to do. That's down to his promoter. And of course, if his promoter, Frank Warren, doesn't want to marinate him for too long, maybe we can actually see him move forward in his career. So that card is also on Saturday night. It's actually a really, really stacked weekend for the sport. We've mentioned all these fights, and then obviously we've got fights, you know, over in America as well that we haven't even spoke about yet. You know, we've talked about the Munguia fight, we've talked about the Kelly, we've talked about Brian and Dubois, Edgar Belanger in the super middleweight division, 19-0. Romar Alexis Angulo is his opponent, 27-2. At MSG in New York, a great fight for Belanger, another great fighter that we've enjoyed covering so far throughout the course of his career. But is he really going to be one of them guys that is going to move forward and challenge the likes of the Caleb Plants and the Billy Joe Saunders of the world, the fighters that are still around aside from Canelo in the super middleweight division? I don't think everybody was overly impressed when his coveted knockout streak was ended, but he's still shown that he has got a lot to give and a lot to learn. And I think this is a great fight for him this weekend.
It is. Belanger, I mean, the Rolls fight was a decent fight for him. It was. He learned a little bit about that. obviously, realising now that he can't just bowl people up in the early stages of his career. You could see he was always looking for the big knockout and sometimes looking too much for it. And better fighters work that out. And you know, eventually they use their brain and they're able to take him the distance. And I think now what you are seeing with the Steve Rolls fight, I suppose there were still elements of that where he's still searching for that knockout. But I feel like now I think he has made slight adjustments where I think he's going to just wait for him now, wait for him to present themselves and then go for the knockout, which would make him a better fighter. And I can understand that, you know, when you're like a young lad coming through, you're bowling paper lad, and all of a sudden you find you just can't get rid of certain opponents. You've got to be careful. And that's what's happened to him before. So it's a good fight for him, I suppose. I mean, Angulo, he had the David Benavidez fight. I think he lost that on retirement. Then I think he quit. I'm not sure he quit, but he had an injury or something. I can't quite remember it. But for me, Belanger, I mean, this guy's 38 years of age. If Belanger wants to move on, this is a guy he needs to just, again, just needs to bide his time. He can box as well a little bit. I think he needs to show that more. I think if he can do that in this fight and then just wait for that knockout, and it will present itself, because it always happens, and then eventually it'll get rid of Alexis Angulo. I do believe that. I don't think he's going to go the distance, but then again, you never know. I mean, I sort of felt he'd do the same thing against Steve Rolls, but Rolls was cute enough, too clever enough, and causing problems. So I don't think Angulo's as good as a fighter as Rolls. So for me, I think this is one of those where he gets another knockout, and then he needs to sort of step it up again and really look at taking some bigger names in the division to see if he is good enough. But he is, look at him knocking everyone out. I mean, he looks ferocious, looks. But who was he knocking out? He's knocking out just tomato cans, wasn't he? Let's be honest. So now he's stepping up a few levels. It'd be interesting. I think, look, this is just a stepping stone for him. Get the victory. Hopefully wait for that knockout, get that knockout, and then move on to bigger and better things.
Yeah, that seems to be the way forward for him. I'm looking forward to seeing him in action. He's always an exciting fighter to watch. Can he do it? Can he knock Angulo out? Can he do it? That's the thing. If he does it and he does it in fashion, then people will start to believe that maybe he could be a challenger in the future in the super middleweight division. I mean, he's still got time on his side as well. I think that's the one thing we need to point out. He has still got time on his side. Even though this is his 20th fight, he still has got years ahead of him, I think, and I think that's one thing we need to remember as well. Yes, we don't like seeing him fight tomato cans for too long, but we also realise that, you know, he's a young enough lad to be able to be moved up, not too fast, but not too slow at the same time. Make sure they're fighting former world champions, you know, contenders, whatever you want to stick him in there with. Just don't stick him in with guys that are not going to help him learn any more than what he needs to learn to go on to fight for world titles. So let's see how he gets on. And another fighter that's exciting to watch. Can he get a knockout? Well, we'll see this weekend. So just going back to the UK and the Reactport card then, a couple of fights and fighters that are in action this weekend. The chief support to the Reactport fight is Jermaine Brown versus Zach Chelly for the super middleweight title, the English super middleweight title, I might add. Undefeated Jermaine Brown, 12-0 against Zach Chelly, 11-1-1. I'm excited for this one as well. I think this is another great fight. It's a great fight domestically for both of these guys. Zach Chelly claims he's the best British super middleweight fighter in the country at the moment. But Jermaine Brown, 12-0, he's also in the same position. So does he. He thinks he's the best super middleweight in England, in the UK. Can he beat Zach Chelly, or can Zach Chelly beat Jermaine Brown? It's a good fight. It's another good 50-50 fight from the weekend that I would say to everybody listening, don't miss it, because it will show you who is moving forward in their career. It will show us as fight fans that, you know, these are probably the next guys from the UK that will potentially be looking to fight world level opponents, but they've got to get through each other first. It's a good fight, good chief support fight on the card. Chris Congo, he's also back in action, 13-1 against Sebastian Famela. Vidal Riley, 5-0, he's fighting this weekend. The debut of Lauren Price, something we're looking forward to, obviously following the Olympics from last year. We're looking forward to seeing Lauren in action this weekend. And then super welterweight Joe Pickford, again back on the card in his 20th professional fight. Now, we've spoke about Joe before, and I don't know who he's fighting because it's not been fully confirmed as yet, as it stands as we record this episode. So, to me, that just indicates it's going to be an activity fight. It's going to be a fight that's going to be against a guy who's not really going to put up too much of a challenge and just keep Joe active. He's one of them UK fighters that we've mentioned are frustrating. Frustrating, to say the least. Padded record, yes. He needs to move on, absolutely. He's not going to do that fighting guys that are going to be there to pick up a paycheck. It's as simple as that. And I want to see him move forward. That super welterweight division domestically and world level, as we've found out in the past few months, is fantastic. There's some brilliant fighters out there. He needs that step up. But that is the makeup of the card. That is the main card in the UK this weekend. We've mentioned, obviously, the Mark Leach, Liam Davis bill, and we mentioned that it was prospect versus journeyman, which it pretty much is. I'm not going to make no lies about that. If you're looking to tune into that, you literally are just going to see a raft of prospect versus journeyman. So choose wisely in terms of who you want to see fight this weekend, because there are some fighters which are pretty much just lined up to get them victories to continue to make their record even greater than what it already is. And there's fights this weekend that we haven't mentioned yet, and I'm going to hand this over to you now, Johnston. You wanted to talk about Jalalov fighting as well, and obviously a certain fight over in Mexico as well.
Yeah, there's a good bill in Mexico also on DAZN as well. It's Kayuchi in the light flyweight division, fighting Esteban Bermudez, who is the WBA Super World Light Fly champion. And Bermudez is... he's the Mexican that in Mexico, he defeated Canizales in a fight that was a real shock. Canizales was expected to beat Bermudez in Mexico, and it was supposed to, you know, he was undefeated, Venezuelan. But Bermudez come through it. And I tell you what, when I watched that fight again, and Bermudez is, he's very slow. It's really weird. He just seems to throw these shots like a snail. It's crazy to watch. And he sort of leans in and sort of... there's no real skill behind his punches. But when sort of they on the end of the shot, it and half take effect. And Gonzalez found that out. He got put down and then staggering around and eventually got knocked out badly. Yeah, so Gonzalez, he ended up getting absolutely sparked out in the end. It was a great shot. And I mean, it was, as I say, it was a great shot and a great shock. Nobody expected it whatsoever. But this fight in particular, I mean, they both held the WBA titles. I think one held the regular, one held the super. So this is a fight where finally we're going to get a genuine WBA super light flyweight champion, or a light flyweight champion, sorry. So you've got super and regular. That's stupidness. This is for a legitimate WBA fight. But yeah, just Kayaguchi, he had a great fight against a guy called Vega as well, a 4-foot-nothing fella. Broke his hand on him, but he would have been the smallest champion ever if he'd have actually beaten Kayaguchi as well. But this is a great fight. It really is. It's an excellent fight in the lower class. And if you love a good scrap between a Japanese and a Mexican, they will present that for you. As I say, Bermudez seems very slow, but when he hits him, at the end of the shot, in half it, you hard. Look no further than the Canizares fight, but great technically, can throw some great body shots in. So yeah, I just expect it to be potentially a fight of the year. And then the other one to mention is Jesus Martinez. This is the American guy that's making his debut, who is actually co-managed by Joe Calzaghe and Darren Barker. It's their first fighter. Calzaghe was speaking about it on Saturday night very highly, sort of saying he's going to be a great fighter. He's a bantamweight. So, yeah, if you wanted to keep an eye on him as well, because Calzaghe is speaking, as I say, very highly of him. So he's definitely one to look out for.
Absolutely. We mentioned, obviously, at the top of the show, Bakadir Jalalov also fighting this weekend. Another step up in opposition for him. I'm a little bit sceptical at the moment with Jalalov, because I know he's a bit of a machine and a monster, but until he starts getting these big name opponents, until he starts scalping these former contenders, champions, that's when I really will prick up and start taking interest in him. At the moment, I understand what they're trying to do, but I think in a few more fights down the line, that's when we'll really start to get a little bit excited about the prospect of what he could potentially do in his career. So I won't spend any more time talking about that, but it is another fight to tune into this weekend if you're watching from around the world. So plenty of action this weekend. Looking forward to it. You know, we've got some great fighters in action, got some good 50-50 matchups. And overall, okay, it's not a spectacular weekend. There isn't a big marquee name. Jaime Munguia, maybe to me, is the biggest name fighting this weekend. But, you know, we've got some great fights on the undercards. We've got some good 50-50 matchups. So do make sure you tune into them this coming weekend. And that is it for the big fight preview. Fight fans, thank you, as always, for listening. Make sure you check us out on Apple Podcasts or Google or Spotify. If you are an Apple already, please make sure you've left us a rating and a review. Truly does help us. Make sure you have left it, because it is so important to continue that word of mouth about our podcast. Now, if you've not already subscribed to us in different ways, please go and check out the YouTube channel. Even if you don't consume our content through YouTube, we are so close to that 1,000 mark. Please just go and click the subscribe button. You can get access to all our available content on there, of course, if you do want to consume it that way. But even if you don't, just please press the subscribe button, because it will really help us. Really, really will. We're so close to getting to that coveted 1,000 mark. A final shout out to the patrons of the podcast. You guys are supporting us. You've had ad-free access to this episode, so you won't have been listening to any of the ads in between, at the start, or even at the end of this episode coming. So thank you, as always, to you guys for giving that support to our podcast network. For us, we're signing off. Have a good weekend. Hope you enjoy the fights, and we'll see you next week for a review of all the big fights.
Podcast Network.